My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He's a professor of global strategies here in Washington. He's the advisor to the Homeland Security Caucus in the House of Representatives, as well as the European Parliament. His most recent book is The Coming Revolution, Struggle for Freedom in the Middle East. He's also written very recently on the renewed violence in Egypt, aimed primarily at Coptic Christians, raising concerns once again that the supposed freedoms that came about with the fall of Hosni Mubarak may have been more an illusion than an actual reality. And Dr. Faris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me today, Greg.
Who is responsible for the killings of these Coptics?
Well, the videos, the YouTubes, the international TV networks are very clear. What we saw on the streets of Sunday was that tens of thousands of Copts, unarmed Copts, maybe they had sticks, but unarmed Copts, demonstrating the streets of Cairo in a post-Mubarak era, meaning during the Arab Spring of Egypt, demonstrating to call on the government to protect them and their churches after a number of these churches have been attacked, including most recently in the south of the country. So when these peaceful demonstrations marching in downtown Cairo, what we saw were soldiers of the Egyptian army with their, you know, military vehicles smashing them and killing dozens of them. That was seen on TV. In addition to that, reports and some other kind of activities were spotted by Salafists, extremists also shooting against the cops, at the cops, and using a lethal force. So who is responsible for that? Primarily the High Military Council and the government in Egypt.
Does that mean the government's essentially been compromised or convinced by the Muslim Brotherhood, perhaps, and others to resist any sort of religious tolerance, or is there another reason for this?
Now, here's the equation that we understand. The Copts of Egypt have been attacked repetitively after the collapse of Mubarak, which is to be questioned, by extremist elements called the Salafists. These are Islamist Salafist jihadists who happen to be the allies of the Muslim Brotherhood, who appeared with them on July 29 in Cairo at Tahrir Square. And there's an alliance between those two Islamist groups. Now, for the government and the military to protect the Copts, they need to go against the jihadists and the Salafists. But to do so, it means they're going to face off with the Muslim Brotherhood. So now, did the government of Egypt, the current one, strike a deal with the Muslim Brotherhood so that they won't go against the Islamists and the jihadists? Most likely that's the case. That's why the Copts are paying the price.
So this suggests then that some of the worst fears, maybe not all of the worst fears, but some of them from just 8 months ago are already coming true.
They are coming through. We saw clearly also, to be, you know, on facts here, that the early stages of the Egyptian revolt was launched by civil society forces, the youth, laptop people, bloggers, seculars, women, labor union. But soon enough, as we've discussed it many times, the Muslim Brotherhood and their allies seized the moment, although they are a minority, but a very well-organized and funded minority. And now, having partnered with the armed forces on the one hand, having received the recognition, which is even the most concerning part of it, by the U.S. administration and some other European government, the Muslim Brotherhood are getting ready to actually seize power in Egypt.
In terms of the Coptics, and we'll talk about the elections in just a moment, but as far as the Coptics' immediate future, are they just looking at persecution without end here, or are there other elements of the government that might actually defend them?
The Copts are actually now under persecution. I mean, the only element in government that can protect them, the only one that we thought of, was the army, is the army, should be the army, because it is the army that transferred power, that asked Mubarak to go. It is the armed forces of Egypt that have a special relationship with our armed forces. I remind our listeners, are paying as taxpayers here in America billions of dollars to support them. So the Copts' ultimate protection should have been, you know, the armed forces. And the incident this weekend shows that the armed forces received instructions which are, you know, basically in the interest of the Salafists and the jihadists by attacking unarmed Copts. And now it's very important for the United States administration, the Obama administration, and this Congress to put significant pressure on the Military Council of Egypt and its government, and to let them understand that they need to protect the Copts as they do with every single other segment of Egyptian society, should they be the Muslim Brotherhood or the seculars and everybody else. And on the other hand, that the military council should be very attentive to the fact that civil society in Egypt needs preparation, needs support, needs training before it's been rushed through an election where the only trained and supported force are the Muslim Brotherhood.
Last question. What do you expect in these elections? And if they actually are fair, do you expect Egyptian voters to reject everything we've just been talking about?
Egyptian voters basically will respond to the campaigns. That's how things function in a democratic election. Those who have the control over the campaigns, the airwaves, the money, the radio station, the TV station, and on the ground have the highest level of organization, no doubt about it, are the Muslim Brotherhood and their allies. The other side, those who could have been able to get the majority of votes, i.e. the liberals, women, segment of civil society, and the Copts, have no political parties. So how can we go to elections in Egypt with one side having their own political parties and then backed by the Muslim Brotherhood and the other side didn't even have a chance to form their own new political parties? That's the drama in Egypt today.
That certainly is dramatic, and we appreciate you bringing it to our attention and helping us understand it much better, Dr. Faris. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Waleed Faris, Professor of Global Strategies here in Washington, advisor to the Homeland Security Caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives, author of The Coming Revolution. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.